Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show. My name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. I'm tired. Oof. How are you? Oh, my God.
I'm pretty good.
Oh, good. Yay. Good. So you talk to the people. Bye. No.
Okay. That's fine.
Excuse me. I don't know what's been going on, but the past several nights, or rather several early mornings, I get up way too early. I don't want to, but I get up way too early. And it's not like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. It's not even that. It's like an energy thing. And then I know I have to get back to sleep. And then, of course, thank goodness I'm a light sleeper, so I do hear the alarm, and I'm not one to snooze, although I did a snooze. I tapped a button. I didn't know what button I tapped, but I tapped a button. And, yeah, I got to move slow today. I just, oof, out of sync, just a little out of sync, but that's okay. But we're here.
Talk about some adjustments, huh? That's interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
Just new energy, new year, and you say this when it comes to numerology and personal years, that it's not cut and dry. Boom, it's your birthday, and you know there's
right.
There is residual. They say that a lot with Mercury retrograde, but I just keep it simple. I say every day is retrograde, so then that way. It's just as a time saver. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter. But that there's overshadowing and overlapping and residual and all of that. So I think that's part of what it must be. I don't know. Anyway, happy to be.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, with me not feeling well last month and just, I think, really trying to keep up with traveling and then going into the, you know, energetically going into the holidays, you know, it made sense to me. I mean, there wasn't anything I could do. I was not feeling like I should even get out of bed. I'm like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to stay
smart.
Put and just, right. You know, because I knew I could do whatever work I needed to do. But I'm like, my main priority is to let this all play out and so I know I can feel
exactly.
better.
Just go with
and,
it.
Yeah. And it was just that level of self-care that I don't think I would have done, you know, a few years ago. I would have been in the middle of a conference or a convention or something.
In a car, driving on the freeway.
Would have been very busy. And I love that the busyness I had was in part because of a cruise, you know, or some travel with friends and family. That was so. These were nice things, you know. These were pleasant things.
These are things people live for. Yeah.
Right. And the rest of it, like I just caught up with one of my dear friends who is still involved in the fraternity that I've been part of, and he went to the there was a national convention in Texas. Over just between Christmas and New Year, and he got back. I saw him New Year's Day. He got back New Year's Day, and you know, he's catching me up on things. I knew he was tired. We all got together for a dinner at his sister's house, and we were catching up because I really haven't, you know, I didn't see much of him before he left, and I was just glad that I wasn't part of it.
Yes. Isn't that nice? And you're like, oh, I am so glad that's not me. Like I went to, several weeks ago, I went to visit a friend of mine. And so she's been involved with this guy now for, oh my God, I would say about 10, 11 years. And they're not married, but they're very, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and grown-ups. And it was just so funny how he didn't notice that she sent him a text. And so he came in just kind of like bumbling, oh, I thought you were seeing Liz. She's right here.
Right.
And I could just tell, like, the way that she rolled her eyes the way that he sheepishly, like, went into the other room, the way that she was, like, muttering under her breath about what an imbecile he was or whatever.
And I'm just on the
easy chair saying to myself, I'm so glad that's not me. I'm so glad that's not a thing.
Right.
So glad.
You know, it's,
I like
it's
being
that,
single.
That,
I mean, call me crazy.
That
I like it.
And for me, the busyness of the holidays, the energy drain, not only physically, but emotionally, financially, all those things that tend to come to pass around this time of year. And I'm like, okay, at least I didn't have to do that part. You know, at least the things that I was able to say, you know what? No, I'm going to stay put. And it was nice to make those decisions with a clear heart. Like, you know, I am not feeling well. Not even that I needed that justification, but I had to acknowledge that, you know, I'm still kind of adjusting and taking care of myself in a different way, given the pattern that I have been living. So, I'm just doing what I need to do. And I didn't fret about it at all. I'm like, well, yeah, I already know I'm staying here, so I'll stay put right here, and I'll be fine. And listening to some of those same stories that I, you know, when I was a student, you know, even the same dynamics, not much has changed.
Not
so
much has changed.
I thought, well,
no,
I had
You're not missing a damn thing. You're not missing on nothing.
So, there were some changes in terms of structure. Because that was a big thing for this convention year. But I'm like, I'm glad.
I'm going to play with the structure of my, you know, damaged DNA and my epigenetics and my etheric field. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
With all my prescriptions. All my prescriptions.
Right.
Yes. My sugar cane, my coconut, everything. Yes.
We do have a hand raised, and I know who it is. It's Anna.
Oh, yay.
Good morning.
Hey, Susan.
Happy New Year, lover. Oh, I like
Happy
how that
New
came.
Year to you.
Happy New Year and to Old Spice, too. That's like so Charles Dickens. And Old Spice, too.
I will pass on the message.
You say yes. We always include her. Hi, my love. Been thinking about you.
Hello. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Oh, pasha. Is that a thing? Pasha? No, it's a French dessert. I'll have the pasha, please. Thank you.
Well, so nice is that I was able to catch up with Anna last night where we were going to talk about some website stuff. And really, you know, I miss her. But in me doing New Year stuff and you know, trying to get on a good foot, wanting to get certain things definitely accomplished so we can move forward. I just said, you know, I need to get on her calendar, and I need to be able to schedule time to her.
You need a fix and a banana fix.
Well,
yep.
And you know, and it's interesting because we really haven't seen much of each other. She, you know, Anna, you're now, you're kind of relocated to Alabama, as you're transitioning with everything that's going on with you. And I've been traveling, so I don't get to, you know, swing by your shop or swing by your house.
It's different now.
We can't meet up for some random Asian food outing or coffee or anything like that. as frequently.
Waffle House realness. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's been kind of a bittersweet thing because I know that with all the big changes for you, Anna, it's been a long time coming, and we don't always know how it's going to turn out, but we know that the steps are there and you're doing them, and I know it's going to lead to better things because you are that sort of person. I mean, for everybody, even the worst change, it's like, well, you never know what's going to come out on the other side and some of the blessings. And I know you of all people will pick up on, you know, bless the mess type things, and you'll find it. So that's, you know, that's never been a question for me. It's never been a concern. But in the interim, I'm like, but I don't get to see my cousin very often.
My cousin.
So, you know, so that's, you know, that's just, you know, having to adjust to that. So, you know, it's like, well, I know with Anna, like, you know, we've been connected for lifetimes. So, you know, I think it's okay for, like, you know, the past year or so, you don't get to see her very often. It's quite all right in the whole scheme of things. It's exactly what needs to happen. You know, and on a bigger level, it means, you know, I'm having to make different decisions also because I'm so used to thinking of you in that way of, oh, you know, I can always count on, and not that I can't, but the proximity and some of the fallback that we kind of use each other for,
not that we took
it for granted, but I think we have to reconfigure how that looks. And that's part of us being able to step out fully on our own, but not on our own. But just acknowledging that, you know, we have so many more options and tools at our disposal or for our use. So we had a good chat. It helped me get some clarity and knowing that I can still bounce some ideas off her and you know, hopefully, you know, get some business going her way just because these are my businesses. You know, I feel good about that, and it makes us, you know, it kind of puts it on a different level. I mean, I think our relationship's always been on a different level, but it's a little more structured this go around because I know that you have a lot of things going on, and you also have a lot of people that are kind of pulling for your attention when you do come to Atlanta. And I feel like you're also trying to find your way. So some of it, you know, it's just the adjustment on your part. But, you know, when you and I get together, it's almost like we're just hungry, so we're going to get together. And I kind of need it to look a little different because, you know, we can't maybe lounge all day and, you know, then you go home. Because when you go home, it's like you have to cross the state line to go home. And so, you know, or, you know, wherever home is not really home. It's like you just happen to stay with somebody else in the area. So I want to make the most of our time. And so a lot of it's just kind of treating it that way, lining it up like, well, yeah, she's my cousin, but I don't want to take for granted. And I don't want to take my time for granted either. So we need to be able to get together. We need to put some things down. It's like when you work with your brother. Yeah. When you work with your brother, he comes in, you guys knock some things out. You definitely have a good time. You know, he's always happy with the stuff that you've created. So I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I mean, I can do something like that with her. Because that's what I would want to continue to do. But, you know, I think it's been on such a smaller level before because, you know, we're just sort of kicking around. But this go around, it's like, we got stuff to get done and we want to get paid for the work we do. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So treating it that way, I think, is part of it. Because I think, Anna, as I'm just sort of, you know, rambling on, this is how that's looking for everybody that, you know, who has been your client / friend, you know, / family member, I guess, you know, that kind of thing where you're in a different playing field now. And so, you know, if you want people to treat you differently or to expect, have different expectations, or have any expectations at all, the approach has to be very different from what you've done in the past. Otherwise, you know, the chances are greater that they'll just treat it like, oh, well, she can take care of that. And, I can make some impossible requests because she's always been able to pull that off. And, you know, and I'm, for me at least, very aware that the things that you want to do, that you really want to get into, aren't really the stuff, you know, it's not the stuff that we're talking about right now, like with website stuff. I know you can do it. And that's partly why I'm like, I have to make some decisions on how much involvement I want from other people. Versus, you know, me just being able to do as much as possible to get it done, you know, the way I want it to begin with. And any minor stuff I can hopefully handle or find somebody who can, you know, that's what they want to do. And, you know, whatever that looks like. But anyway, hi, Anna.
Well, before Anna jumps in, it just reminds me of when the three of us get together, which is very rare. Lucky if it's once or twice a year, whether I come to Atlanta or you guys come to New York, and that there's the energies. I've noticed it from the first time I met Anna, and we didn't even know that we were going to become so close. in hindsight, that the energy is so amped up because we know it's so temporary. We know we live in, you know, two totally different places that only really accessible by plane. But knowing Anna, you know, she'll turn it into a road trip in her truck, and I ain't mad at that. but that every moment is so special and important. Even if we're not doing anything, we are doing something. So I get that, where you really are in appreciation because it's that occasional. Well, I'm sure it's like when Anna sees her kids. It's not like how it used to be, like we're all in the same house, and you posted something so sweet of the two of them when they were really, really, really little. And I felt for you. And so when you see them, I can only imagine. So I think it's that awareness of really appreciating and making the most of every moment we have, especially with the people that we adore. So,
yeah, that was the video when the kids were, gosh, like two and five or something like that, and they were they were just saying hi to me, you know, just something
so
that I got during the day. It was so sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I've realized through all of this, and now that I'm able to see them as much as I can when I'm in Atlanta.
That's great.
You know, it's definitely been not an open door policy, but definitely I have my foot in the door now, so it's good. I'm still not allowed to take them out without permission and
right.
or laying out the plan of what is to happen unless she goes along with us, and I'm fine with that. Let's just get out of this apartment and
right.
go do something. But I realized too, the kids, you know, as things go on, they're fine. They're all right. I mean, I know they miss me.
Yeah.
We have those moments.
Of course.
Jaden, of course, is 12, about to be 13. Oh, my God.
I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I know you know.
Insane. Insane.
So I get bursts of conversation with him, but very short and then done, you know, and
yep.
let him go. You know, and he's a 12-year-old in the books. I mean, he really is. He loves reading, and I love that about him. He
throw some little juju over here. He likes to read. Oh, God bless.
Yeah, he's a reader, avid reader, and I think I was told he checked out like 31 books at the library last time he went.
Stop.
So, yeah.
Well, so all the books that my 13-year-old isn't reading, he's reading for him. Oh my God. That's amazing.
He does. He's definitely that guy. And totally,
that.
Over the holidays, in the past, I was told I either did too much or just little things. And I'll tell you, I had a moment one time when I was in the store and I just almost made myself sick. Mm. Just the thought process of the conversations that go through your head and how you didn't realize at the time how oppressive, when I never use that word with myself, but I will tell you now that, mm-hmm. you know, just realizing that I was in a situation where there was a lot of control. There was a lot of, at least it's probably going, it's about time you figured it out.
No. it's crazy that you're saying that because I had that conversation with my oldest son just yesterday. I came to the same conclusion. Oh my God.
And it was weird because I almost literally got sick and had to leave the store because I could hear her voice in my head saying, it's the gift, because he loves Legos. And I bought him a big ass Star Wars ship, you know, to build. And it's like, I get to choose this. I get to do it.
Right.
And so this is something that I want to give him because he hasn't had. If he gets a clean, good new build, generally it comes from me because nobody is really investing in that, which I feel like is investing in him.
Absolutely.
And I've done that a couple of times this year, But this one was a really big build, and I, you know what, I'm going to give it to him. But I could hear that voice in my head.
Yeah.
There's, and I told him after I gave it to him, I said, you know, if there's anything that you want me to take back to your grandfather's house and keep it for you, I certainly will. I have a storage shed full of Legos out here. I have a storage shed full of my daughter's toys. So I didn't get rid of any of that stuff. I have.
No.
And that's the thing. Like, you have to work through that stuff yourself, and it's all about perspective. And for me, I didn't realize how it affected me until you know, I was going through and looking at things and wanting to really shop for the holidays for my kids, because honestly, that's the only, there are very few little kids in our family, and I don't see a lot of them. So really, and I wasn't raised with holidays, and I'm not making excuses.
Right.
It's just,
of course,
I don't have this innate thing.
You don't
in
have that chip
to celebrate.
You don't have it, right?
You know.
Right.
But I realized, too, like this time of year always for me has generally been a very wonderful time of year, just because people do have a shift in consciousness
and
attitude. And I've always been appreciative of that. And I will tell you, this is the first year that this holiday made me sick. It made me it made me really just nauseous to my stomach. And I was like, wow, that was weird, you know.
Well, that's
absolutely
cellular memory,
weird.
Because now you have the chance, because you're not in that. The
right.
The cord is really, and again, like I'm reading your field now, the cord is really severed. And it's very interesting, because it's, here we go again, energetically, you and I going through the exact same thing in tandem, where the cord is absolutely cut. And you are able to stand in your truth and in your frequency, where now you can see, because it's over. It's really over. And look, we're bound by having children, so that's what keeps the consciousness and the presence of the other person, at least in the periphery. But if you're united by children, you're united by children. It's really over. And the older the kids get, the less that's going to even be a thing. And talk about control. Very, very interesting. And I'm, like, I find myself, and it's scary as beep, but every day I find myself just embracing more and more financial control and less, I don't want to say dependency, because I'm not dependent on him at all, but less of a cooperation, or less of, no, I'm not finding the right word, but less interaction. Less interaction because of the control. So certain bills, if it's outside of like food and housing and utilities, and listen, it's plenty. Anything outside of, they need a pair of sneakers or this or that. But it's a control thing, because I usually will get whatever and then have to get reimbursed. And there's one thing for my older son. I guess that they're not getting along so great or whatever. And that money has not been put in my account. And I made the decision this morning, because I was feeling kind of nauseous about control, which is crazy, Anna, right? This morning before the show. And I said, I'm not going to ask for it a second time. I'll find a way. Because I'm not going to deal with that control nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is that you go through these long-term relationships, and you know, back then I wouldn't think of it as control necessarily, as conversation. Well, I would think of conversation and sort of the voice of reason, and it wasn't that to me. What I would do was something that necessarily wouldn't happen every day. Now, I did love taking my kids out and doing things for them and purchase. And that was everything from toys to shoes to clothes. I mean,
right.
I did it before the holidays. I took them on a shopping spree. We hit Old Navy pretty hard, and we hit a couple of stores. You know, we were constantly, and I'm constantly, you know, if I'm in a store, which is actually very rare, but when I am in one, I may go look at, you know, kids' clothes or shoes or whatever, and if I see something I think one of them might like, I'll verify the size because they're constantly growing.
Of course.
I have to do that. So, you know, those kinds of things. But I think the weird part is when you have a shift in perspective, and which, you know, this had never occurred to me. And this is the weird part is that, honestly, none of, you know, until the past 6 months when we had gone to therapy together, it never really occurred to me how it affected me.
Yeah.
Because I always thought, I always say, I stand in my own shoes. You know, I take full responsibility. And yes, a lot of that was a co-creative experience. I will not say that was your fault. And what I do say is, you know, we've been living separate lives, and your life isn't going as well or as planned, because you did point the finger at me. And the interesting part is now you're looking at me like, wait a second, now I've been out here living my life, and now it's like, oh, I want you as a part of my life, you know?
You're
so
right.
It's kind of like, and for me, you know, there's a huge investment there of time and energy and
everything. Oh, my God.
And you want to look back, but then now I'm at the point where, you know, wow, I want to be with my kids every day, but I cannot sacrifice my soul to be with my kids every day. I mean, because it would be eventually be cheating them, not only me, but it would be cheating them.
Exactly.
Of who I truly am.
That has been a
huge aha, because I was raised in a family of family, you know, I mean, Elisa can attest to that. I've been raised in a family that takes care of their family. I've been raised in a family that keeps the family together regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may joke around. I mean, she banters on about her parents and, you know, and I'm sure, like, my parents' dynamic was, you know, I called them the odd couple.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I realize that our families have this, and we say it's generational, whatever, and it is, and there's something to that about loving someone to a certain degree, being willing to grow old with them and experience life with them. Now that, you know, I tell you what, there's just been so many different things literally in the past couple of months. And you know, I think when I called in too, you were talking about Mercury in retrograde, but it was actually, what do you call it, elongated? It was flipped last month. So, you know, for those of us that kind of live in that energy, we were kind of surfing that a little bit. So it was interesting how, as crazy as it is now, you know, the last bit of icing on the cake was the house, which, you know, for all practical purposes, she won that house. And I just had to bite my tongue, and I just, you know, there's nothing you can do when the court system comes down and says, oh, we're going to give this person, you know, everything, basically. So, you know, Elisa was talking about my, you know, where I reside or where I'm living, and it's like, you know, right now I'm in Alabama. Day before yesterday I was in Georgia, you know, so I'm all over the place. Tomorrow I will probably be in Georgia again. What part of Georgia? Probably on the beach, not in Atlanta.
Right.
But, you know, so right now I still have the luxury of going different places and visiting people. And I have met so many new and amazing and wonderful people on my journey. As crazy as it is, I've been able to stay in some amazing homes with just beautiful energies. It's just been very, very interesting and different. Now I do have this thing where I do like to have my home base, and that's
of course
been a little bit disconcerting, and hopefully when the house thing is over, I'll be able to, and my dad of course is out of the country for a couple of months, so I'm you know, not only at his home, which I'm very blessed to have this beautiful space to be in, at the same time it's, you know, where do I want to put my roots? And, you know, coming back and forth and doing this, I realized I do love the state of Georgia. It really has been home for most of my life. So I'm still kind of tinkering around there, I don't want to live in the city. I know that. That's, and Atlanta's so messed up and congested, and we don't have the wonderful ways of getting around like you guys do in New York.
Right.
You know, so there's so
right.
many, so many things that have hot in my head in the past past couple of months, obviously even the past couple of days. And I think the realization is that, you know, I do love my ex. I do. And I understand that she's on her journey, and as we all are on, I do want to try to create some friendship with her. I don't know how that's going to pan out, at least for the kid's sake, if not for my sake. I do, as far as there's a lot of stuff that I run by her business-wise, marketing. She's a marketing genius. I mean, she really does information.
Energetically, I got to cut you off. I'm so sorry. I have to cut you off. I'm so sorry. But if you were calling into the show, and you did, if you were, I'd be like, so?
Well, you have to,
no.
To have a to have a rampage of appreciation for everything, because it is a learning process, and this is what these shows are about. How do we take the reality of what we perceive for ourselves, and how do we shift it into something that is
that's fine, but you're putting a lot.
Healthy.
That's fine,
yeah.
And I agree with you. Energetically,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you're absolutely right. Totally
mm-hmm.
in agreement with you. Energetically. And it's your amazing, beautiful, ebullient nature. It's who you are. And it's one of the most beautiful things about you is that in all of that understanding and all of that joy, all of that perception and awareness, which is so precious and so rare, but energetically, unconsciously, you're putting undue pressure on yourself. So it doesn't change the fact that your ex is a marketing genius or whatever, but she's not the only one. I'm not saying you don't. But energetically, I mean, take this in how, because if you called in the show, I would say the same thing. Just you're putting a little extra unconscious burden on yourself. Because if the contract is over, the contract is over. So you can be kind, but to run things by the thing is that you got to meet people where they are. So, and you guys are in two totally different places energetically. And even to run something by business-wise, there is a vulnerability, okay? And the thing is, I'm being protective of you.
Mm-hmm.
And just when you think, and I know because this has happened to me, just when you think you could be cordial, you can be rational, you can be warm, all of a sudden, now you're really vulnerable. And they see that. And if they don't like or they disagree, look, you moved on. You have a wonderful new relationship that you're in. Ending the marriage, okay, it was a marriage. Ending the marriage was not your idea. Kind of backfired on her, right? My case, it was my decision to end the marriage. But I think he thought it was just a phase and I would come back and see the wrong of my ways and all of that. And even if there's a control issue or finances or this, that, and the other, this isn't changing. I'm not going to change my mind. It's done. That's kind of backfiring on him. So all I'm saying, and I'm only saying this, look, I could keep my mouth shut and not say a damn thing. Because I love you and I respect you. But because I adore you, and this is what we do on this show, I just want you to look at that you have so many options and you can see that, you can perceive that, But it, if it's not going to line up with that person, then your vulnerability is so precious. And there have been times as the custodial parent that I have felt I have cried for hours just feeling so alone in all of this and knowing I just had to work through that because I stand in my truth. So I hope you are receiving this in the loving way that I'm presenting it.
I understand what you're saying.
Of course you do.
But it's not like a constant.
Mm-mm.
It's not a constant thing.
I know it's not. That's why I'm telling you, because of course it isn't constant. There's nothing to defend. It's like this is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Anna,
it's somewhat
along the lines of what I was talking about in the beginning when you got on the air about how our relationship has changed in that, you know, mostly just in frequency, and that's fine. But also, even in the past few years where I knew that doing the studio and then the printing, that really wasn't where your heart was. And then, you know, all the other stuff that you really when I was listening to what you really were preferring to do, I was reluctant to continue to say, okay, well, Anna, can we just do this? Can we also work on this and really work on it? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, well,
mm-hmm.
if this isn't really what you want to do, then why would I continue to ask you, you know, or even why would I want to be part of all of the stuff that you're actually trying to change, you know? So it's like, I had to be aware going in, like whenever I went into the studio to help out, I mean, I knew that was helping me out and I was helping you out, but it wasn't like, well, I have to, as much as I would not, I don't like not seeing you, but there has to be a period where, you know, you're able to do what you need to do and I'm able to do what I need to do. And so the frequency in which we kind of depended on each other for various things, like I knew just that just would, by nature would have to change. It would be one thing if I'm like, well, I felt entitled to all that stuff and I needed to, you know, I just need to be in your space all the time. That's never how I felt with you anyway, because that's not how we roll. But you know, it is a little bittersweet, but it's also the reminder that I also have things I need to get done. And if I'm always dependent on you or my brother or anybody else, you know, to take care of everything, when am I actually going to stand on my own? Not that I have to be alone in it, but I have to know that I can do those steps. So I have to know that, you know, I have that experience. And I get it because, you know, you have been, you know, with Stephanie for so long. And that was sort of how you two, that's like the common ground. That's almost somewhat safe.
It is.
Because you're in a position to ask her something where she feels in control of it. She has the expertise. She knows it. And that's great. And it's an acknowledgement. It's a great way. It makes it a little bit easier to spend that kind of time, any little bit of time you have with her. So I understand why. On a lot of different levels. I also understand where Liz is coming from, because for you to be forging really a new path for yourself, you are having to make new connections. And actually, for the most part, I know you're looking forward to making new connections. But this is that one little bit where it's not black and white at all. It just means that you're shifting your attention to something that, you know, to someone else, where that particular relationship, it is strictly business, and there isn't any past history of anything beyond that. So that it also is a process as all this other stuff is happening, and you know, you're like, how many, you know, not you. I don't even think you're someone that asks how many more changes do I need to have, because you know, you'll get an answer, but that kind of change. Now that you're aware of it on a different level, you're aware of it, it can be such a more graceful transition. Because like you said, you weren't even aware you know, in hindsight, you look at the situation and different things, different patterns that have been repeated, and you have a different word for it, you know, a different way to describe it. But when you're in the middle of it, you don't, you know, you just, that's just normal. It's normal stuff.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. It is not that everything about her is toxic at all. It's just even some of the positive things, like keep that in its own place. And as you gracefully transition these next steps and the new opportunities that are blossoming, you know, I think you'll be able to see a different change in the quality of people, on all fronts, that, you know, in terms of people you want to do business with, people you want to have good friendships with, that it's like with eyes wide open, because you have such a generous heart. I mean, that's why you have people flocking to you all the time. People from, like, you know, coming out of the woodwork. Hey, I thought you did this, you know? So, and I think you're realizing, as we all have been realizing for ourselves, that even if we do something and we know how to do it well, doesn't mean we should do it at all. You know, it doesn't mean that at every beck and call we say, oh, yeah, I can do that, because you're being much more intelligent and selective with, you know, how do you want to spend your time? And you can talk a lot about where you want to go and all that, but when it comes down to it, you know, do you want to drive, you know, over three state lines to do something for, you know, 2 hours? You know, do you want to spend your time and your energy and your money and all of that, all your attention, for such a short-term, you know, gain, if you want to call it a gain, but just a short-term feeling?
Right.
And I think you're just getting smarter with your own flow, that, you know, and you can experience a little bit of everything. You know, like, well, maybe today I'll be self-indulgent, and you do something. But in the long run, as you're looking more long-term and you're seeing it, it isn't about if somebody else likes it. I mean, I think you're really getting out of that, like that permission. Well, as long as somebody else thinks it's okay, you know, if it's going to be received well, you know, you're just going to start busting through some of that, just the training that you've had, and it's a process. So, you know what, I get the whole point with Liz, and I've seen it, I see it, and even in just talking to you last night, you know, the things that you want to do, those aren't necessarily new things. I think your approach to it, because you have a lot more freedom now, true freedom.
Right.
That may be a little bit of something that because you're not used to it, that you may not trust it a little bit. And that's why exactly you need to be pushed out there and just enjoy how that unfolds without, you know, always having to bring back, well, maybe someone else is expecting me to do something else. So cutting, or not cutting the tie, but changing what you talk about, the content of what you talk about with your ex, can help you maneuver into much more openness with others who are probably going to factor in a lot more for the things you really want to do.
Well, I'm already kind of seeing that with some people, which is amazing. And these are people that are already in the industry, and I just need to, you know, and the contacts are in Georgia, so I just need to make a point of when I'm there. And that's what I do now, is when I'm there, I set things up. So I really am going, you know, into meetings or conversations with a few clients there, or whatever it is that I do need to take care of. And it is about using my time wisely, and not always I think with me, it's not always to the degree of just business. I've realized that, you know, like I have a couple of older clients that, you know, when I go, like I have one that I go to her house, and it's not just a, let's go in and fix and repair or change stuff on your website or in this case, I'm not just doing that, but I'm doing a lot more for her and being social with her, because one, she's a really amazing person, and it's really nice to just, you know, almost sit and have a conversation with a friend. And I feel like that in a lot of cases, I end up doing that with people, and maybe that's why they do call me or contact me. Case in point, you know, Gloria's texted me last night and this morning. That's another one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so when you handle things for people, and a lot of times it's not just the marketing stuff that I'm handling for them. It's, you know, one of them, you know, her gateway to her e-commerce site got hacked. And so we're figuring all that out. I mean, there's just some really, because that's who I am. It's like, I want to help people, and that's where I am. But you're right in the fact that I do have this freedom now that I didn't have before. And it's really what I've realized too, like you were talking about the thought processes, those thought processes over the holidays. To me, it was about, you know, all of a sudden it came up. So it was like, wow, this emotion is here.
Yes.
This hurt is here. Everything is here. It's very much in my face. Okay. Let's get through this and let's get out of here. I'm not pushing it down. I'm acknowledging it and I'm letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these are things that I'm saying to myself. I don't ever want to live like this again. I don't ever want to be in a situation where, that I have, I have to drop what I'm doing and book it. You know, it's not now I will say if there was a call and something happened to my kids, my butt would be gone. You know, I'm like,
of course,
for sure,
whatever it is. But those are the only two people right now that I'm going to drop everything for.
Exactly.
And so what I've realized as the conversations that I have with my kids is my kids are fine. The kids are fantastic. And
yay.
Yes, I love that Lily, you know, she's like, well, you know, I walk around sometimes during the day and I think something's missing. And, oh, it's Nai-Nai, you know, you're not here.
Oh.
I said, well, you can call me or you can text me. And, you know, when we're together, we're cuddled up on the couch and we're watching TV or we're playing a game or, you know, we're constantly, and Jaden will come out now and he's more social and it's because I've started to be in their lives more. So I'm realizing that as long as we enjoy our time together and we're okay, everything's okay.
Yep.
Now, regardless of what anybody else does, this is our time. This is our togetherness.
Sacred.
And the fact is that I've been able to stay with just the two of them and spend time with them, which is great because, you know, she's got work to do, so she's gone. So I think a lot of things have shifted and changed, and I think and it's just one of those things where I do my best to see the best in a lot of people now. The past 2 years have made me realize that there are some very not nice people out there.
Right.
And you know what? Energetically, law of attraction wise, I just stay with who I am.
Yep.
And those people won't come into my
That's right.
And I realized too, because there was a time when I used to almost dare, you know, some people to show up. Like if I was in the grocery store, you know, but I was saying to myself, you know what, when I do that though, if I said that and I'm being in that energy, I have lowered my vibration and I've got to stop that.
That's right.
And so it did. And I said, you know what, because of law of attraction, I don't have to go in fear in anywhere. I just have to be happy and do my due. And you know what, if I come across anybody or anything that affects me, I don't have to, I just keep on going, you know, it's like, just keep, as long as I don't stop and acknowledge
engage
it into my reality. Let's put it that way. And you might say that, you know, people say, well, that's putting on your rose colored glasses or whatever. It's like, well, it is, because I don't want to see that.
Right. Right.
You know, I've met people who say, you know, God hates me and my everything continues to happen to me. And I think that's because you perpetuate it with your thoughts and your thinking, because what you just said exactly, you know, what you're asking for is exactly what you're saying that you're lacking, which, you know, we can get into that conversation too. But I know that as long as I look at my kids, well, look at everybody, really, I want to see them whole and complete. I want to see them in joy and love and happiness and kindness. And, you know, when that doesn't happen, then I have to choose in that moment to stay in that or to walk away. And it could be that I walk away from a situation where my kids are there, and I just have to say, it's, instead of trying to endure it, I just have to say, I have to go now. You know, it's time for me to go.
I need to
walk out. So, those, you know, in the conversations that I have with my kids are, you know, I always love you, and they're like, we know that. I said, and you know how to find me. You know how to find me if you need me. And I said, and if anything, we got the, you know, craziest last name, so Google us.
Right.
And any person that comes up on that Google knows
you're related to them.
Me.
Right.
I'm related to them. You're related to them. We're all related to them. So
you
get in touch with them. You know, so they, you know, we, it doesn't get that that crazy with them, and especially now, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, thank goodness.
I had them a couple nights ago. I had them pretty much from like 4 o'clock until about 10. So it was really great.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Her and her friends went out. So that was great. I mean, to just hang out with the kids and be in this space of love and appreciation for them. And So, you perpetuate that. And I think that's the thing too, as I said, my kids have the ability now to really notice people, notice how they treat people. And one thing that I told them, I said, if anyone doesn't treat you not nice, I said, first let me know. I said, as long as they treat you they're nice and they're kind. And I said, I don't ever want to get into this thing with them about being upset about somebody that their mom is seeing or some people that she hangs around or any of that stuff. It's like, as long as they are good people, and I know actually several of these people that she hangs out with, and they're good people.
Thank goodness.
So I want, like, I don't ever want to say, anything negative around that to my kids, as long as people are treating them with kindness. And I stress that all the time. And I stressed that before, I remember when Jaden was little, it's like, dude, you want anything? You get happy. Let's get happy so we can get everything we want, and,
yes.
That was our thing. It was about being happy. So now I want to show them that I can be happy. I miss them, yes, and I can still be happy, even when
Absolutely.
They're not around, because I have them in my heart.
Yep.
So that's kind of the thing. I don't get, it's very rare that I get really upset like I used to, and I'm sitting in a space and all of a sudden I'm just missing my kids. That doesn't happen as much anymore.
Well, because you have access to them where you didn't, so that's the other part
of it,
too.
Well, I did before.
You did not have the access before, so that's
right.
So painful.
But I also realized that that's my stuff, too. Like, my kids, they go on, their life goes on, and they're not pining away for me. I mean, they probably miss me, but they're not hurting. I don't think they hurt the way I was hurting.
Well, it's
different.
It's
different, yeah. So, and then, of course, it's the change. To me, it was about the change in living situations and the change in everything. And I really think everything that happened could have happened in a nicer, kinder way, if that's at all possible, when parents get divorced, if they could only realize that the anger and the sadness and all of that just takes a toll out, not only on themselves, but their kids as well. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that when you make such huge changes, your kids were fortunate enough, they stayed put with you, where my kids were basically literally lifted out of their beds and
pulled
out the door. So, there's a difference. There's that difference there. And so, to me, it was about a huge disruption in lives, not just the four of us, but everybody that was extended from us. It was a huge disruption, and it could have been done. And I've been apologized to, and I understand that.
Right.
But I think sometimes people have to do things in such a dramatic way to think they need a dramatic change in their life. And
right.
The realization is it's not on the outside, it's on the inside. The change has to come inside. And so that's a lot of stuff. We can do these shows over and over and over again, and we're humans, which is wonderful, So we're going to trip and fall, and we have to understand that all the major changes for us happen inside. You don't have to, if you cannot allow that other person to affect you, you can change yourself inside. You can have this is my opinion. You can have a decent conversation with somebody and come to some conclusions that aren't so disruptive, because I've done it before and I know it's possible, but again, it didn't happen that way. So, ta-da. And, the crazy part is this spot, in numerology, it's, I'm a 5 and a 5 year, so
Ooh.
I've got a couple more months of some changes, and it's still, I've got a trailer out here full of stuff. I have one more load in Georgia. I still have to settle the house. Everything is, but everything is coming to an end. It really is. And then I'll go into my sixth year, and I'll be I'll be happy then. No, I'm happy now. I really am. It's like in all the craziness, I'm still happy. In all the chaos, I'm still happy. And let me tell you, right now everything is up in the air. It's like I'm juggling, it's like, again, where do you want to live? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. The majority of people out there don't really understand it because they keep their nose to the grindstone and they don't change things.
Right.
But this is definitely, what I'm saying is I am changing. It will be different this year, and it has to be because I just rolled the dice. I feel like I just rolled the dice with my family on this whole thing. So,
And you're being courageous. And you're being courageous, and that's when you don't know what's next. And that's courage.
So
good for you, girl.
Yeah, absolutely. But excited about it, too, though,
It is exciting. Well, yeah, it's extremely exciting. I don't know from 10 minutes from now, but I'm happier. When people say, "You happy?" I'm like, I'm happier.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
than
as
I was
long as you
before.
Can hook onto that and say,
yeah.
Wow, I'm so
happier.
Blessed that, that's why I say I do these rampages of appreciation, not just for my ex, but for my situation that I'm in now, the relationship
and
I'm
that,
in now,
I totally
people that
agree
I'm
with.
Meeting. Yeah.
That, I appreciate, again, it's my protective nature. That's it. I'm just watching my girl's back because that's how I roll. What I would love to do, the final moments of the show, unless you guys want to do something else, is Anna, being founder of this platform, I'd love for you to pick the first message for 2019, the first message of the year. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I'm ready when you guys are.
Do we want the music or no music? You do want music?
Push the button.
Yeah, okay.
She's a push the button girl. Yeah. Her hips aren't lying. Okay. The number, how interesting. The number associated with this message is 919.
Of course it is.
Right? Isn't that crazy? Okay.
Yeah.
The message, the number is 919, and the message is, that Anna picked for us, is, as awareness patiently guides you to fully see responsible accountability without regret, shame, and guilt, healing begins. And all is forgiven now. Oh, I'm going to read it again.
Yes, awesome.
You picked it. As awareness patiently guides you to fully see responsible accountability without regret, shame, and guilt, healing begins and all is forgiven now. 919. It's amazing.
Well, even in that number sequence, the nine is the ending, the one is the beginning, the nine is another ending. It is about, in a sense, a full circle moment. It's about seeing everything in between, from what you think is the ending to what you think is the beginning to what you think is the ending, and it kind of circles back around. So you have everything in the middle, but the whole thing is about this unfolding. We see these nines in terms of a universal number. That is trust in the universe. It's trusting in that things are unfolding exactly the way they need to, even if it's not really the way you'd want it to be. Not how you would have chosen it, but in a way you kind of have. Situationally you positioned it to experience those things. So, in the middle of that sequence, that's the number one, that's you, that's the sense of self. But on either side is this wisdom of the nine, the unfolding and the trust that happens when you can go through and say, it's weird, it's a weird stuff happening, but I know I have to go through it. And even if you don't do it at that point, usually in hindsight, it's like, well, I think I had to go through that to understand. To understand what was really happening, to have a better sense of self. So even those words of accountability, at some point, you hope not just for other people, but you're like, well, I hope she figures it out. But the main thing is that you need to figure it out. You or not even need to figure it out, but you will. You will make some of those connections, and you will, in hindsight, generally where it works out, is that you understand why that process was the way it was, why that was the best way for you to understand a better part of yourself. And look how you share that with other people. I mean, everyone's success story has some crap in it, you know? And that's usually the interesting bits that everyone kind of holds on to, because like, wow, that's just like where I am right now. And if that person can do it, you know, there's an inspiration. If that person can do it, then I know I can too. And that's what you hope. You know, you hope to get some kind of nugget of something to hold on to that says, well, this is why I need to keep going. This is why
not giving up. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up.
Because, you know, it's unnatural to stay stuck and stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
But what is normally happening is that we are in our mind, in our process, in our thoughts, we stay stuck. We're still growing, but we continue to repeat a lot of the same things in a way, in an effort to keep things the same way, even if they're really, really not healthy or really, really painful or uncomfortable. So all of these things come about for a bigger push, because obviously you're not stuck. But you're thinking maybe for right now. So the accountability comes in, because, you know, the change is going to happen. And, you know, you in a five-year, you already knew that. You've been working on your surfboard, you know, getting on there, no problem. But it was like you were out there like in a hurricane. Running some really, really big waves. And it could kill me, but, you know, I'm out there and I'm doing it. So, you know, the weather forecast means, you know, when it's calmer, you can still go out there and enjoy it. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be that dramatic.
Right.
Maybe you pick a different sport. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. But, you know, you have different choices. You have some different choices. So, great message.
Yes.
Thank you for
great
that.
Message.
Yeah, really good message.
Yes. Well, love that. So, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great show, so some programming available to you. And this particular show will be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Love you, too. Thank you.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.